He walked on earth like an angel. He says he knows no man who walked as holy as he did. Now, their teaching produced a lot of holy men. Because they thought that they can be holy, they thought that they can be perfect in God, they produced that. In the past 50 to 100 years of Christianity, we do have some pockets that teach on holiness, but we have neglected those teachings. And in the last days, we need to have both. Yes, we need the gifts to reach to the people, but we need the understanding that it is possible to walk with God perfectly and to be without sin on this earth. We recognize, like Paul, we are still in the flesh. As long as you're in the flesh, the potential to sin is there. But it's possible to live free from sin in our heart and in our mind. Now, the level that Jesus wants us to live is this. Jesus says, the Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill or steal. He says, thou shalt not even be angry. Didn't he say that? Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says, you should not even do it in your heart. Now, is Jesus giving us a standard that we cannot live? Can't be. Because then Jesus will be wrong. It will be unfair. If Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount is trying to tell us something that He knows is impossible, that's not right. But He's telling us something that is possible. Our belief is something possible. And the key is in mercy. Perfection starts when you show mercy, because you know how in the human area you have these courts. You go to the court, the district court, and then you go to the higher court, and then you go to the Supreme Court. And whatever the Supreme Court decides, that's it. There's no more after that. And you go to the highest court in the land. The highest spiritual and legal authority in the universe is the mercy seat of God. Everything that God announces and decides from there is immutable, unchangeable, irrevocable. And you know what that seat is called? It's not called a legal seat. It's not called the supreme seat of the universe. It's called the mercy seat. Because the more perfect you become, the more merciful you become. The more you're able to forgive, the more perfect you become. The less you're able to forgive, the more imperfect you become. So mercy is tied to perfection, and I'll close there. It is tied to verse 8, which says, the pure in heart shall see God. Now when you tie it with Psalms 23, it is actually the hardest place. Because at that time you're walking in the shadow of the valley of death. And no evil can come near you. But it says, for He is with you. Now I thought He was with me in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is with you. But He's being with you, and He's being with you in verse 1, and He's being with you in verse 4 is different. Because now that you have encountered the darkest moment, the darkest of all, and yet you understand that He is with you, that's where it comes. It is not possible to see God if you didn't pass the place where it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You must pass that stage. Then, now mercy is necessary where a lot of sin abounds and hurts and evil abound. Now the Bible does say, every scripture can be cross-referenced, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Where people sin greatly against you, that's when you need to greatly forgive. When people sin greatly against God, that's when God needs to greatly forgive. But I like that verse where it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Notice the purification of the heart was a process. It's not immediate. It starts as a process. And I believe I'll leave it at that. Look at Matthew chapter 5 again. It starts with verse 3. Something we all can do. Contrite in spirit in verse 3. We learn to submit and be contrite in God. Verse 4. We learn to mourn. He said, how do we do that? Some of us come from backgrounds where, you know, we don't really weep easily. And this is what I believe you need to ask God for. Ask God for the tears to cry. Because sometimes our heart becomes so hard that we got no tears to cry for the sin around us. Test God in that and say, He will give you those tears to cry. I know, because the beginning of my walk closely with God was when I was in a Baptist church. I was just converted about 2 years in the Lord. And we were having this evening and night prayers. We were spending, and that time we were not even baptized with the Spirit. And then as we pray for the people who are not born again, we pray. In the end, the more we pray, the more we cry with our voices, the more we realize we don't really mean it. We don't really feel it. And in the end, in the middle of the night, we cry, Lord, there's so much sin in the world we can't even grieve for it. Lord, give us tears to cry. And within 5 minutes, there's a presence of God that come in. And suddenly we were weeping for God. Tears just flow for the sinners. And we know one thing. Those were not ordinary tears that come from some emotion somewhere. Those were tears where God shared a bit of His emotion with us. Or what He felt. The mourning. The crying. When you pass through that stage, you're humbled before God, you thirst for the right things, come righteousness, mercy, then you come to the stage of seeing God. I believe the progression must always start there. If you ask any Christian on the street, would you like to see God? They would say, yes. But seeing God is way down on verse 7. You can't encounter God until you pass the other stages. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that you help us understand the steps in our Christian life as we walk in them. Father, these are the words of Jesus. These are the commandments of Jesus. These are the requirements of Jesus. That we should walk in them and that we should abide in them. Father, unless we understand the splachna of Jesus, the bowels of His mercy, says the Old Testament, or New Testament saints in the Old King James says, that we may know, Lord, the inner parts of God that feel for this world. Lord, unless we have that, we know we cannot see You. So, Father, the prayers that we pray for each one of us today, it's a prayer that Paul prayed and desired for the Philippine Christians, Lord. And this is a prayer that we pray for each and every one, Lord, in the things of God. We pray, God, that if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, Philippians 2 verse 1,
that out from the inward parts of you and from our spirit will flow the same love, the same accord, the same mind. That all may be done, Lord, not through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Because each one to esteem others better than himself, let each, O God, look after the interests of others and not to unto themselves. Then in verse 5 we pray that this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ask, O God, for the mind of Christ. But first we ask for the affections of Christ. We ask, Lord, that we may understand the affections of Christ. What the Bible in Greek calls a splankna of Christ. So that through understanding the affections of Christ, we may comprehend the mind of Christ in our heart and in our mind. And we pray, God, that your Spirit would stir a work in our heart so deep. Oh Lord, Christians have been telling themselves they cannot be perfect in you. They cannot be perfect in you. And preachers have been preaching they can't be perfect in God. They can't be perfect in God. They can never be free from this earth of sin. Your word calls it a lie. These are lies that the devil has kept us, Lord, in the church in its lowly state. Lies that have kept your church in sin, in imperfection, in compromise. Father, I pray that you would cause once again the voice of the Spirit to sound loud and clear in our midst. That it is possible to be like Jesus on this earth. Not until we go to heaven. But on this earth, it must be possible. Because your word says, O Lord, that the works that you do, the works we will do also, Lord, because the same Spirit comes on us that you have received. Father, we come against every lie of the devil. For he has kept your people in bondage to lies. The lies of the devil that say that Christians cannot be perfect in you. The lies that say we cannot be like Jesus. The lies that say we will never ever be like Jesus while in this earth. Because Lord, if it was impossible, then your commands would have been meaningless. Father, we pray that you will stir faith in our hearts and in our minds. So that when we live and walk out of this place today, we would know in our heart, yes, it is possible to be a Christian perfect in you. Yes, it is possible to walk like Jesus. Yes, we may not be there yet, but we can believe that we can reach there in this lifetime. And Father, we know it doesn't need to take 1,000 years because of the power of your Spirit. We know, Lord, that perfection is not something that we need to strive in, but something that we receive from you through the work of your Spirit upon our hearts. Because it's the work of your Spirit, it can be done. Father, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, for accepting lesser glory than what your bride deserves in these last days. Lord, we cannot compromise on the call of your bride. And we bring before you the word of God, Lord, that you had declared through your apostle Paul, that says, O God, that you gave the gifts of the fivefold ministry. Not so that people will compromise, but so that one day we come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That's what your word declares in Ephesians 4 verse 13. To the measure or the stature or the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head of Christ. It's Your word, Lord, that we believe and declare. This word declares, as was declared by John Wesley, Thomas A. Kempis, declared by men and women of old, declared by Charles G. Finney himself, and many other men of God who before us who declare, it is possible to be a perfect Christian in you, in Christ-likeness in every way possible. And we ask, O God, that in these last days, where the world around us abound more and more in sin, where more and more, Lord, of the things that are despicable to You are turning this world more and more until not only just one or two cities are like Sodom and Gomorrah, but entire countries compromise in their laws to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. That in these last days we will raise a standard so high that they will know that it's not by might, not by power, but by the power of Your Spirit that transforms our hearts and minds. So Lord, forgive us for accepting anything less than the fullness of Christ in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that in Your mercy and grace, that You reveal this truth that we see oh so darkly and so dimly. But let these truths again shine bright